independent wrestling is pretty damn fucking cool.
We're sitting down in the spotlight and squared circle with Rhino.
We're trying to bring more awareness to the independent professional wrestling scene.
Undoubtedly thankful for anybody that just decided to tune in and actually liked us enough to keep listening.
You're tuned into a show of such thermonuclear awesomeness, your head might just implode into another quantum universe. That's right, it's Grapple Talk, the universal cure for boredom. Featuring Nicholas Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden. Stick around, you don't know what is going to be coming out of their mouth.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, this is Grapple Talk.
You can't even make it through the open, can you?
Nah. Episode 80, though, it's a big deal. We got new music again. It's weird, like, whenever we do Grapple Talk, because we've done this regular thing now where we change music up every 10 episodes, and we always get, like, 5 episodes into the, next set of episodes, and I'm like, man, I wish we could just change our music.
Yeah, it's like one of those things, it's like, we should probably preview the music before we switch it, because then you don't get tired of it.
Yeah, probably should, but...
I mean, in reality, we could just switch it up every 5 episodes.
Nope, that was really I don't like change. Sorry, my shoes are off.
You don't like change, but you said that after 5 episodes, you're like, man, I wish we could change it.
Yeah, but I don't like change.
That's a paradox I don't understand.
Well, it's not a paradox.
Apparently you're not a human being, then.
Well, he is a robot.
Yeah, that's right, you are a robot. AC robot.
Here are a few samples of some of the upcoming shows in the Midwest area.
Oh, who's going first?
Oh, actually, I am. we're talking about BCW's Thunder.
You're
going to
be
under.
There.
Yes, I'm going to be there. Friday, July the 10th, and you got it down as June for some apparent reason.
Why do we have a month-old show on the...
Yeah,
it's not a month-old show. It's just I apparently can't type July.
No, you can't.
But I can for the other two shows.
It's at the Knights of Columbus, 1800 South 92nd Street in West Allis, Wisconsin. Our main event, of course, will be the Monster of the Midwest, Sadus, taking on WWE Hall of Famer Bushwhacker Luke.
Cool.
I feel bad for Bushwhacker Luke. You know how old he is?
I don't know.
He's getting up there.
He's pushing 63.
Is he really?
Yeah, he might
so
not
he
make
might
it
be pushing daisies.
He might get German suplex like 30 times.
Yes.
63
times. The BCW World Heavyweight title is on the line as Joey Jet Avalon defends against Paulie Tomaselli. That should be a good match. Tomaselli has a lot of momentum going in this one. He's beaten all the members of the Beer City Bruiser. You've got to watch out for him. Of course, speaking of Beer City Bruiser, Matt Winchester will be in action against His Holiness Sean Priest.
They like to beat the hell out of each other, so.
Well, they usually do that.
They do.
It could be a hate crime.
Oops.
BCW Wrestling's tag team titles will be on the line as Insane Evil defends against the Perfect 10. Doors open at 6:45. Bell time is 7:30. Tickets are 20 at the door, 17 using PayPal online at their website, BrewCityWrestling1.com. That's BCW's Thunder Down Under.
That's a really stacked card, man. That's a really big show.
Is
Thunder Down Under one of their bigger shows or something? Because that's pretty...
I don't think it is necessarily.
Oh.
You're also going to see Stacey Shadow. She'll be in action. Probably more than likely Porn Sash Peter Schwan will be there. You see Tyler Sunday. You see everyone they usually see at BCW. It's going to be a stacked event, and looking forward to it.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Beans.
Speaking of stacked events, down in Waterloo, Iowa, it's the 2015 George Tragos Luthez Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame show presented by Impact Pro Wrestling. This Friday, July 10th, at the 5 Sullivan Brothers Convention Center, that's 200 West 4th Street in Waterloo.
That could be fused with the 4 Sullivan's Convention Center.
Yeah, you never want to do that.
Or the 6.
Yeah.
But it's at the 5 Sullivan.
The 6 got torn down, actually.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, had black mold problems.
Good to know. Hardcore Bob Holly takes on Colt Cabana. Jake Durden and Nathan Redwing will be taking on Latin Thunder and Nick Densmore, formerly WWE superstar Eugene. Brian Blair, James Jeffries, and Ugly will be taking...
Ugly!
Apparently his name's Ugly. Apparently he's not got a whole lot of self-confidence. Taking on the Legend Killers, Maddie Starr, and Sparrow.
I remember Sparrow. Called one of his matches one time.
Yeah.
He knacked out Aaron Sacrifice with a kick.
I remember that guy.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, they'll be teaming up with Aaron Von Baron. Also in action, Wes Briscoe takes on AJ Smooth in a Legends Lumberjack match. And also, of course, the Luthez Invitational Battle Royal. Special guests include Bob Holly, Colt Cabana, Wes Briscoe, AJ Smooth, the Legend Killers, Aaron Von Baron, Pretty Ugly, B. Brian Blair, WWE Hall of Famers Jim Ross and Gerald Briscoe, and much, much more. We talked about the show last year because
we were
going to the Hall of Fame the week after, and this show's going
to
be
we got to the Hall of Fame the week before.
Yeah, it was
did
before,
we?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember we missed it by a week. I didn't know if it was before or after, but here's the 2015 edition. It's going to be a great time. If you want to be a part of the time, doors open at 5:30. Bell time of 7 p.m. It still worked.
You're a master of transitions.
I'm not really, let's be honest.
Yeah, you're not.
Tickets are $15 for general admission and $20 for ringside rows 2 through 4. All right. Proceeds that from this event will be going to the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum. And we've been there. It's a great venue, technically. Venue, not really. But
it's a great museum.
The museum is what it is. Museum's fantastic, so...
It's a great thing to fund. I mean, if you've never been there before, it'd be a great time to hit up a double shot. You know, try to hit up that museum earlier in the day, go to the event. I mean, when we went to the museum,
you go to the show on Friday, stick around Waterloo the next day.
Okay, Waterloo Mayor trying to get people to spend their money there.
I mean,
well, next day they have the banquet.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it says we went there, and how long were we there for? We were there for probably a couple hours at least.
Yeah,
we would have
so
been
much-
there longer if it weren't for the fact that we had to get to the next. Event.
Yeah, we had to go to a show later that day, but it was one of the coolest things. I mean, even if, you know, there's a great pro wrestling section there, but as well as amateur wrestling, I mean, just being a fan of both sports, seeing where everything originated was really cool. I mean, it was something really, you know, special to be
a part of.
It's
definitely a testament to the cultural legacy of wrestling.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Want to check that one out. Plus, it's not too far from, you know, it's right in the heart of the Midwest. So,
and if you like strip clubs, there's actually one right down
there.
There's
one right down the, I mean, it wouldn't be a professional wrestling museum without strip clubs right down the block.
Strip club adjacent.
Underground Wrestling's Independence will be the following day, Saturday, July 11th at the UGW Arena, 270 West North Ave, Unit 21 in Villa Park, Illinois. The UGW Championship will be online. It's a ladder match, guys. American Voodoo Mojo McQueen is the champ. He'll take on Delicious Danny Scott. And they'll also take on together Brendan Conway. So it's a triple threat ladder match, guys, for the title. The title's online. And a
pretty crazy.
Match. Yeah, that will be a crazy one. UGW Tag Team Championship also online. The champions, Beauty and the Beast, who are Stevie Fierce and Rob Matter, will be accompanied by James Russo, and they'll be taking on the challengers, hashtag Glitterbomb, who we're on the show not too long ago, Brian Fellows and Donnie Dynamite, and they'll be assisted by Skits M. Jones. So it'll be a little bit of a three-on-three match there. Singles grudge match as GPA takes on Marcus Conrad. Draconis takes on Damian Tyler, and Mason Conrad will be up against Matt Dewar. Dewar? Dewar?
Dewar.
I said it right the first time. Didn't need to correct myself. Dewar. Doors open at 6:15. Show starts at 7. Tickets, $10 for adults, $5 for kids under 12 years old. That is Underground Wrestling's Independence.
And those aren't just the three shows going on this weekend. There's a lot of wrestling going on. Global Force Wrestling is up in Appleton on Thursday. Ring of Honor up in Hopkins, Minnesota on Saturday.
What a week for the Midwest.
Oh, it's a great week.
Golly Lucha on Sunday.
Wow.
Dream Wave on Saturday.
Wow.
There's a lot of shows this weekend.
Wow.
But you know, so it was wow. Our guest here tonight.
Yeah, we're going to have a great – we got Darren Corbin coming on here in just a few moments. He actually sent out an awesome, like, you know, what I don't even know what you call that, like a –
social media plug.
Yeah, social media plug.
Social media plug.
I love social media plugs, and his was great. It was very much appreciated. And we're going to have him on and just talk to Darren Corbin. I mean, the guy, 11-year vet, knows his stuff.
Very fun interview. So that's going to be coming up next.
I've always said this, and you guys can both know this. Mm-hmm. Darren Corbin's tag team, Ryan Cruz. Remember I said this?
You say this all the time.
That was actually one of the first shows I ever was at, and to this day, still one of the most entertaining tag teams I've ever seen in my entire life live. 100%. And I'm not just saying that because we have them on. I mean, it's true.
No, I totally believe you.
I think any time the North Star Express comes up in conversation, you say the exact same thing. So I know that you actually believe it.
Yeah.
And it's true.
And I'm actually glad that's the highlight of that show because didn't Ryan Brown almost kill you on the way back?
Yeah. Because I fell asleep. And then he hit the warning track part of the
strip.
I was like, huh? I woke up, I look over, he's sleeping. I had to wake him up even though we hit the whatever. I mean, I wonder if Darren Corbin remembers that show.
He probably does.
Amory? That was Amory.
Painfully
wasn't it?
Remembers.
Painfully
remembers. That was not the best thing. The drive and the location.
But this interview is, and it's coming up next right here on Grapple Talk. Yep.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
This is the Monster of the Midwest, Sadist. There's a couple of things I really, really like. I like to hurt people, and I like Grapple Talk. So I'm going to keep listening.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerwec.net. Gerwec.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners. This is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler? A promoter? A business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media. Create your legacy.
Yeah. What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
This is Jordy Lee on Talk is Jericho. You're listening to Gravel Talk.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for. It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with Darren Corbin from the Midwest area, but you can see him all over the country for that matter, and also on YouTube, which is really global.
YouTube is a big thing.
It is a big thing, such as Darren Corbin. Darren, thank you for joining us in the Spotlight.
Ah, thank you for having me. It's good to be on the show.
So, Darren, for the people that may not have heard of you yet, tell us a little bit about who Darren Corbin is and when did you get in and all that fun stuff.
Okay. So, first of all, I think I have to sum this up. Not to be confused with NXT's Baron Corbin, so hopefully we can get that confusion out of the way quick.
Wait. You're not the same guy?
No, not the same guy. I could play it off that TV generally makes me look about a foot taller than I normally am, but... But, no, not the same guy. However, I started back in the 04, so it's been going on 11 and a half years now. And I started training at NPW in Maple Grove, Minnesota. That's where I originally started. It's no longer around anymore, but I went down there in February of 04, started training. And I went down with Ryan Cruz, who, you know, North Star Express, my tag partner. And we started there, and we were doing training quite a bit. And that's kind of where I had my first match and everything. And that's where I met Eric Cannon, who, of course, I team with now with Team ACDC. And have traveled the road with quite a bit, pretty extensively, for the past decade. So that was kind of how I got my start. And from there, after NPW shut down, I always wanted to travel with wrestling. That was always my thing that I really wanted to do. And I started trying to get my foot in the door with other places, and luckily at that time, Cannon definitely was having some buzz and getting his name out there, so I was trying to go to the same spots he did to try and make a name for myself and get my start. So right around 05 is when I started traveling pretty extensively, and that's been most of my career, I would say, that I've been pretty regular on the road, at least. Half the time, half the shows I do are normally out of my home state. So, but I wouldn't want it any other way. I definitely enjoy it.
Yeah, you definitely have been doing a lot of traveling. I mean, before we were getting on the phone with you, you were just coming back from a show in Vegas. I know in previous times you've wrestled over in the East Coast with Jakar, if I'm not mistaken. Just how many promotions would you say that you've actually wrestled for in the time you've been in the business?
Oh, gosh. I mean, if we're counting, like, some of those one-off promotions, too, you know, it'd be hard to say. Like, I would legit say it'd be close to 50. I've been lucky enough to do stuff on the East Coast, mostly with Chikara, and that's what's brought me out there. And then on the West Coast with West Coast Wrestling Connection, Dub C, and that led me to Paragon Pro in Las Vegas, which is going well. And then another one of my goals since I started wrestling, I always wanted to go overseas. That was one of my main things. So I was very lucky in 2011 to do stuff in England and Germany. And so with that, I've mostly tried to just kind of go wherever I can find. And I did a tour up in Canada. I went up to Calgary like this past February, and I've done other shows for like WFX and a couple shows in Canada and then all the way down to Texas. So I try and just go anywhere in between. I don't really mind being on the road all that much, and I like to line stuff up. So it generally works.
Darren, on the show, we always talk about the different styles of wrestling. I think it's one thing that us three really actually enjoy is, you know, the different areas and different things that, you know, people may enjoy when they're watching, you know, guys work in the ring. So, kind of, I mean, you know, you're one of the few guys we've talked to that's actually been pretty much everywhere. Kind of talk about, you know, just coming from a wrestler, what's that like? I mean, is it tough having to adapt to these different styles, whether on the West Coast, you're overseas, you're up in Canada? What's that kind of like?
Yeah, I definitely notice the difference. Like you said, in the crowd, like, I think it's foolish to not assume that they're, you know, like, everything's the same. Like, granted, wrestling is similar. Like, reinventing the wheel is unnecessary, but having fun and changing it up, like, different crowds are into different things. I've also been very lucky, I think, where I have a pretty well-received or adaptable style of wrestling. You know, a lot of people might give me flack for being comedy-based, but, you know, whatever. I enjoyed comedy when I was growing up, and if people don't like to laugh, well, I feel sorry for their lives. I think that's a void without humor. But when I first started in Minnesota, one of the things I noticed right away, like, again, you know, you're a new guy starting off, and I was looking at it like everything was very basic. You know, I was learning, like, just a lot of stuff, which is good because I learned the difference between, like, just kind of going into it and not worrying about, like, a lot of big thing, big spots, anything like that. So I enjoyed that. When I started traveling, I definitely noticed that, like, certain stuff had to be up in my repertoire, in, like, my expectations. And especially when you go to places like Chicago, Philly, New York, areas where there is a lot of options for wrestling, I notice a lot that the expectations generally are very high because they've seen a lot. So it's like it really challenges you to be creative. Now, again, around the Midwest, a very common trait for me especially is whenever I, you know, talk to people about wrestling, and I can almost guarantee this, once a show or even if I wear a wrestling shirt in, like, out in public, I always get questions, like, especially if it's older or, like, parents or anything, they always go, so were you a fan of the AWA? And, like, that's always a question that I get a lot. And I'm like, you know, I'm familiar. It was a little bit ahead of when I started getting into a lot of stuff. But, like, now even more, I've been familiar with it. And a lot of people really like that throwback style. And they remember, like, Vern Gagne, and they remember all that. A lot of the characters coming through, and they're like, yeah, they used, you know, like, they were here before they went to, you know, before they went to New York, or before they went to WWF at the time. So a lot of times, like, around here was definitely, like, throwbacks, and I even noticed that, like, up in Canada a little bit, and in the Dakotas. So the more I started kind of going out towards the East Coast, like, when I hit Chicago, I realized that there was a lot. Expectations were different. There was different styles. And again, you know, I did stuff with IWA Mid-South, and of course, like, that crowd, like, when I came in, was definitely, like, you know, TPI was huge, and, like, King of the Death was big, and, like, if you were looking for that style, like, that hardcore style, there was very, you know, CZW, IWA, I think in the Deep South, there's only a few spots you'd go. So knowing what that crowd wanted, which, again, me being very comedy and very gimmicky, I can safely say this, I was not well received by the IWA crowd. And especially when I started picking up some steam, and when I won their title, I remember getting on the message board, because those were the craze at the time. I remember IWA diehard fans who were like, this company was built on hardcore. This was, you know, like, people shed their blood in this. And then I had the belt, and people made, like, bullets, like, 5-point plans on how and why we should kill me. It was one, actually, was like, why somebody had posted, the title of it was, they talked about it, and they were like, Darren Corbin as champion's a joke. Darren Corbin winning, you know, like, totally spits on the tradition of IWA. Here are 5 reasons why we should kill Darren Corbin and how. And I was like, oh, interesting. Well, at least I know your game plan. Way to post that online. But yeah, and now definitely going back out to the West Coast, like, one of the things that brought me out there is the like of appreciation of comedy characters and personalities, and that's what their crowd really enjoys. So that's kind of crossed over for me in Paragon and out there. And then, of course, with Chikara, like, it's been nice to have such a – I feel Chikara is such a niche market where it's created its own world, its own atmosphere, and, like, the fans come and they have fun and they enjoy it. And they get into it because they've, you know, kind of grown with these characters. And somebody has told me, you know, it's like superheroes come to life. It's like a live-action comic. And I really enjoy, like, that thought process because they get involved in the story. And so, like, I love how things can happen in Chikara that would not normally happen anywhere else. And I think that creativity allows them to succeed. And they're such a good counterculture to a lot of stuff that's out there. So, like, the options right now for wrestling are great. And so it always amazes me personally when when people are like, yeah, you should always do the same. You should always do the same. Because you can be you and change it up. But a lot of people just fail to realize that there's a lot of, you know, different flavors for different folks out there in wrestling. And that's one of the things I think that makes it great.
That is definitely true. You get a lot of people who are just stuck on vanilla. It doesn't matter what they want. You know, it's like, oh, man, I'm just going to have vanilla on everything. And actually, after a while, vanilla is just really plain. But
I love vanilla ice cream.
Well, same here, but I love chocolate, too.
I hate chocolate.
And, like, you know, mint bonbon. And
that's
all that
right.
Stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Cookie dough.
Are you going to write five different reasons why you should kill chocolate ice cream?
I already did that, yeah. I already posted that, actually.
Wow,
somewhere.
That's
that.
Really
yeah.
mean.
Yeah.
Why would you want to kill chocolate ice cream except to put it in your stomach?
This isn't spotlight on me.
Well, anyhow. But one of the things I thought you brought up that was a really valid point was when you talk about going to the East Coast and the West Coast and stuff like that and where you get to see like this blend of wrestling styles, a lot of that happens because you got a huger population base, but you also have major imports, you know? So you got a lot more airport traffic coming in. You got a clash of cultures and stuff like that while up in the, like, the upper Midwest, it's basically, you know, steak and eggs.
We got the same guys.
Potatoes mm-hmm. and all that stuff,
yeah.
You know.
Definitely a very valid point, too. And I think a lot of the things that really helps is if you go to the East Coast and you come in, you could definitely, you know, for better or worse, you could line up a Friday, Saturday, Sunday a lot easier. You know, like the options there, the shifting is a little different. Now, around here, yeah, we have promotions that run Fridays or, you know, try and run a certain Saturday of the month. And like the one thing I've always noticed, July is a great example of this. July 25th, I know of four shows in the Minnesota area and it, like in a, I would say 30-mile radius. So like, I always just wish that sometimes it was just like spread out a little bit where it's like, oh, you know, like, it'd be Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That'd be great. But, like, a lot of times, too, yeah, you bring in somebody out on that area, and you could have somebody for, like, I mean, even trios themselves, you know, like the Chikara tournament does three shows alone on a weekend. So, also, if you're trying to get out that way, like, you have the option where you could come in, do a show on maybe a Friday or Saturday, or easily head up and do that, or split, you know, like, here I do this, and then I take one way here, and then I'm here, you know. So, like, the options can be a little bit better out there. And I think the problem is here where, and we've had discussions with this numerous times, definitely in the, you know, in the Midwest and Minnesota, for example, you have guys that are conveniently located. You have really good, you know, you have very talented guys in the area. And let's say there's a dozen that you would want to use on your show. Well, if everyone's picking the same dozen, sometimes it's, you know, like even if it's seemingly whatever, cost-effective, convenient, whatever you want to use, you run the risk of using the same matches and burning out the guys. So I think, like you were saying, like a lot of times it can be too much of the same thing, and like to freshen it up and change it up is definitely much needed. Too many people are trying to do the same thing and think that just because they'll run a show, they will come, which is not always the case.
No, yeah. Sometimes you get like 20 people there, and it's usually just the workers.
like, friends of who, family of who, and my favorite is crowd starts off at whatever number and dwindles in half when said guy wrestles, and then they're like, yeah, I just saw my friend wrestle, and they all leave. And then main event goes on in front of like 20, 25 people.
Yeah, and I know that's something that we've talked about a lot is just, you know, with the Midwest, just for an example, when they're, like you said, four shows happening in a 30-mile radius, you know, we've talked about why don't the promoters set aside the egos, maybe just collaborate a show together. You know, that way you pool the budget together, you have more to spend, you can do more with the product. And really,
or you're all just not running on the same day.
Or you can do that as well. Just, you know, you spread them out that way. You kind of keep an eye on what was going on. And anything, too, if you're working with each other in the radius, you'd be like, hey, you know, this show's on Friday. You know, hey, if you liked our show, go check out these guys on Saturday. And same thing with Sunday. Just, you know, what in your opinion, why do you think that we don't really see a ton of that here in the area?
I mean, I think there's a couple factors. And, like, I want to try and – I'll try and say it as safe as I can because, I mean, I can't really talk for too many places. But here's what I think it really is. First and foremost, I'll give you kind of an example of some of the places. Like, Primetime, for example, that I wrestle for, you know their show is the last Friday, September through – May.
Yeah.
Like, they have a great thing every season. and they have a wonderful built-in crowd. Awesome. You know, like, they're doing really well. And people know, and, like, it's really nice. Like, in January, Wes Briscoe actually came out, and he was able to do primetime and then another event on that Saturday. And granted, there wasn't a lot running on the following day, but it was really nice to be able to split, have two chances. So if you couldn't get out on Friday due to work or whatever, you could see him on Saturday. Now, I think a big part of it is, one, I think a lot of times, like, it's that scratch and claw mentality. Like, I got to get a venue, I got to get a date, and this is the only date I have. And if I don't take it, when's the next one I'm going to get? So I think a little bit of it is a fear, you know, like, if I don't act now, when will it happen? So I think that's a big thing. Take what you can get. Second, I think some places get kind of stuck on the idea of running monthly. Consistency is key. I definitely agree. But sometimes you don't have to be every month. You know, like, I work for Pro Wrestling Battleground. That is not every month, but certain months, and they still run a consistent amount of shows every year. And that, it works for them, and they do well, and it's just a matter of they try and find a time, like, they work around certain ones that they know have a set schedule, and then they kind of go from there. So, like, I think what happens is eventually you got places that try and always shoot for a certain weekend. And, you know, like, for me, what I've always noticed is a lot of my consistent stuff that I know, like, I know when my Paragon show is, I know when Dreamwave is, I know when Primetime is. They give me those set, you know, set times. So, like, trying to fill in the middle, like, if you're trying to run a monthly show and you're like, okay, so I'll work around this and I'll try and hop in here, here, and here, but everyone's trying to, like, run their own show and do their own thing, and they split talent, or you get talent for this show, and then you want to do, like, a next one. So you're like, okay, well, the third weekend worked here. So in 2 months, I want to do the same thing. But maybe half your roster's booked on a different show. It's tough to find it. So then, like, do I go to a different time? Do I do whatever? And I think last, it is an ego thing. Like, if I'm going to put on a show, my show should be the best. People will do it. People should want to see it. And really, I kind of agree with the mindset. Like, if everyone just did their own thing, I think it'd be fine. But, you know, a lot of times people get concerned with every, you know, other people, and they try and make them try and put themselves above them at their expense. But I do think that a lot of people kind of have this mentality where, and this isn't just here and this isn't anyone specific, but I think people have a mindset where it's like, well, I've been to a show, I see what they do, I can do it better. And, you know, it's like, if they did this, I should be able to get this if I just do a little bit and use these talented guys. And it's like, okay, well, but this place uses those guys, or this place runs that kind of style, or they do this. Like, it has to be something different. And I think that's kind of what dilutes it, too, is sometimes on certain days you get a lot of the same, you know, like, it can feel like cookie cutter A, B, or C. Like, I know that's a big thing for, like, especially in bigger cities. Like, Chicago, there was a lot of promotions at one time that were running that I had no idea, but they were, you know, like, you didn't know promotion A, B, or C based on the acronym. So that's a big thing. And then also in the Midwest, finally, I guess I should just add this as a disclaimer, I think summer's kind of a tricky season to run. Like, oh, yeah. I think it's kind of, I always use this with my friends. Like, I'll be in a car, and it'll be a beautiful day, and I'm in the car, and I'm like, off I go for 6 hours, and I'm passing all these lakes, and I would love to be on a lake right now.
Yep.
So I can't imagine who else would want to be on a lake, you know? So, like, I think there's always stuff to do when you're in the summer months, and so I think that can be tough, too.
Oh, 100%. I mean, couldn't agree with you more. I mean, we've spent literally 80 episodes talking about booking philosophies at this point. We could probably talk about it all day, but I kind of want to dig in deeper, Darren, you know, and you kind of mentioned it earlier, the comedy act. I mean, we've seen you live plenty of times, and you're always, you know, not only is the comedy key, but also the stuff in the ring. But I want to talk to you specifically about the comedy. How important is that comedy element, that gimmicky element for a show? I mean, in my opinion, it's a huge point part of the show, but I want to hear it from your perspective about how important that really is to have you know, somewhere on the card.
I mean, obviously being biased, I think it's important. Because, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, like, granted, I feel like I should have a role on a card, but this is my thing that I've learned throughout the years of comedy, and I always thought that, you know, in the world of pro wrestling, like, and in every, you know, like, kind of region or every territory, you would find a guy who was more comedic-based, and it kind of was nice, because I think wrestling should be a variety show. Like, I think there should be a little bit for everybody. And, again, I always bring it up. I'm like, well, what's wrong with a little laughter in there to make it work? And there's definitely a way to do that. Again, when I started, the mentality was, especially when I started traveling, like, Stone Cold had just retired, but I would go to all these indie shows, and I would sit there and I'd watch, or I'd be, you know, like, in the back, and so many guys were, like, black boots,
yep,
black trunks, jean shorts, jean jacket, whatever, and not Stone Cold, like, 130-pound or 150 pounds, and granted, like, I'm not a big guy, I'm not, like, muscle-bound or anything, but, like, dudes smaller than me are coming out there being like, you know, my character's kind of like, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's like half Stone Cold and half The Undertaker with the toughness of Triple H. And it's like, all right, well, I know what I'm working with here. So I would get that a lot. So, like, when I started traveling, I was like, you know what? I'm going to have fun. I'm going to just be the dork, because no one wants to do that. Everyone wanted to be the cool kid.
Yep.
So I started doing that, and like I said, one of the first spots I ended up was IWA, and I came in as, like, this goofy character, and, like, no one really knew how to take it, but it was different, and I think they kind of caught wind that if they put me in certain situations, you can, you know, definitely with the crowd reaction, the way that they were going, it was like, people couldn't stand the fact if I was winning matches, so that was a big part. Now, my thing with comedy, I think there's good comedy, and I think there's bad comedy, and I think there's, you know, like, there's people who want to make you laugh, but then I think there's people who, like, I consider it like the inside joke. You know, like, yep. Oh, me and my buddies think it's funny. I can't believe you didn't laugh at it, not knowing the story. Like, you still have to convey it to a way where it's universal and people find it amusing. So what I would see, especially with, like, comedy characters, there are guys who do comedy and it's like, oh, it's funny. We're supposed to laugh at him. It's funny. Like he, you know, like, oh, he's a buffoon, you know, like, any cartoon where, you know, like obviously like Family Guy or Simpsons where, you know, they're definitely not the smartest knife in the drawer or anything like that, but they're entertaining. But how are they supposed to be successful? How are we supposed to take them seriously as successful? And I always thought it was important to find that switch flip where it's comedy, and then, like, but that guy can still be a legit fighter. And I always looked at it as the way movies worked. The Joker, for example, is, you know, in Dark Knight, the Joker is very, like, humorous and witty and funny, but, like, when it comes time to get down to business, like, he, like, it's chaos, it's full-out anarchy, and it's a threat. So I always think that's the blend that people miss, is it's like, well, I wanted you to laugh at me at my expense because I'm not a, you know, I'm a goofball, I'm whatever. But now I need you to take me seriously. But how do you flip that switch to make sure that people will take you seriously? It's kind of, it's hard to convey that to a crowd. And I think when done right, comedy wrestling has its spot. And I don't think that everyone can do comedy. That's just like everyone's not a serious wrestler, not everyone's Stone Cold. But I think bad comedy can really take it away, and people are like, well, it's just two dudes, like, messing around. It's not, this isn't for me. But it's also tough, too, because whenever you see, like, a comedian, I think of it as open mic night. Like, if you know it's open mic night, you go to a comedy club, I think a lot of people sit in that front row and they go, all right, impress me, make me laugh, yep. Funny man. Yep. But if you go in there in such a way where you can spin it, and it's like, oh, well, that was a pleasant little, like, burst of comedy, then it's unexpected, and you didn't tell them what to, like, what they were in for. And then I think it's a welcome change. So I think that's where comedy kind of has, like, its spot. And, again, I think there's so many varieties that should be included, and that's just one of those parts.
Well, speaking of varieties, you took part in one of probably the biggest variety shows up in Minneapolis. It was Wrestlepalooza 6. I got to ask you, how was that? I mean, we've been up there a couple times. It's a phenomenal atmosphere.
Yeah.
But
we love PBR.
From a guy in the locker room to see how wrestling's kind of taken off in that type of format, like, how does that make you feel?
See, the thing about Wrestlepalooza is when the format started working, and first of all, you touched on it, great. It is a party. Like, that atmosphere, that party, like, everyone's there to have fun, which is exactly what I love about wrestling. Like, again, it's the same thing about a comedy club where people are like, okay, impress me. Like, I don't like that kind of wrestling. Like, why? No, come here, have fun. Like, lose yourself in the moment. Like, why spend money to just be like, nah, I hope I enjoy this. Like, that's a waste. So, for me, when I watch it, like, I look at the roster, first of all. Awesome, different variety of guys. And again, we touched on this earlier. There's guys at Wrestlepalooza that you don't see in Minnesota, for sure. And that you don't see in the Midwest. Because we've had, you know, Jervis and Chuck and Cole Cabana come in and all this stuff. And you just see, like, there's certain characters that appear and you're just like, I don't know quite what to think of that. So, you want to check it out. I had a feeling from day one when I watched it, but this is also from my experience with Mondo Lucha. I had this idea, like, I was like, this is smart. Like, when I heard the format, I was like, that's going to work. Because this is even more of a variety show than wrestling just being a variety show. It's, you know, the burlesque, it has a market. The live band, like, if you like the band, you're going to come see the band. But then there's this, like, fun wrestling event attached. So, heck yeah, I might stay I'm going to stay for the wrestling. And then if you're a wrestling fan, you're going to come and check it out. And then, you know, hey, there's a band. Hey, there's girls who are taking their clothes off. Yes, I like these things. And, of course, you know, like you guys mentioned, like, there's PBR and, like, everyone's having a good time. And, like, when you get involved in that atmosphere, you're like, oh, this is cool. I had no idea wrestling could be like this. Or what people think wrestling is, they didn't know that certain stuff that goes on at Wrestlepalooza could be done in a wrestling format. And a lot of it is the venue and the creativity and, like, how it works. And, like, it doesn't have to be the exact same format. Like, you don't see the same structure as you would at other wrestling shows. That's what I think makes it different. And I saw that work in, you know, with Mondo Lucha, and I saw how that was, and I was like, oh, this is a brilliant idea. Like, you are making a collective effort of all the entertainment that people like in this area. So when I saw it, and I saw, like, some of the people that come to the shows and some of the crossover for, like, of course, like, stuff that we enjoy, and then you have them coming here. Like, I know a lot of the roller derby, they come to check out the show, and they're always great, and they're always fun, and they have a blast. So I know that the crossover was going to be huge. So all the, like, entertainment and all the, like, little things, it's not just a wrestling show. And also, I think we can all attest to this, sometimes wrestling shows have the tendency to run long. Like,
yes,
it's too much 100%. Wrestling.
Yep.
And I think the format there is, man, I want to see more. I can't wait till the next Wrestlepalooza. Not, oh, I got my fill on this, and I might feel up to it later. It's like when you walk out of a restaurant, and it's your favorite restaurant, but you ate so much that you want to puke, and you're like, I really like that, but maybe next year. So it's like, yeah, I don't think it, like, devalues wrestling, and I think people leave going, that was a really good time. I can't wait for the next one. And that's important.
Absolutely. So I think it's been really well said there that Wrestlepalooza, Mondo Lucha, two places that really stick out from other independent wrestling promotions. You already touched up on it that you stick out a little bit as, you know, being this comedic wrestler that's not afraid to be the dork. And also on top of that, you've also stuck out by just being the guy that's going to let people know where he's going to be. I think that's been a really important thing with any independent wrestler is being the guy that's letting people know where they can see them next, opposed to just, yeah, I'm going to be on the show, but I'm not going to promote it. And not only do you do that, but you also have, you know, these YouTube shows you do Wrestling Reflections, you do On the Road Again. When did it really click to you that maybe I should just start using YouTube a lot?
I'm so glad you brought this up, because this is one thing too. Like, I would see shows, or I'd hear shows in the area, and I was like, I'd see who's on them. And then to me, it's the dumbest thing like, if there's ever a term, like, a full-blown example of dropping the ball, it's when you're on a show and you are not hyping the show that you're on.
Right.
Like, I'm on this show. I want you to come and watch me on this show. I would love it if you came and watched and bought a T-shirt. How would you ever know of said show if no one tells you about it? It's like the tree falling in the woods theory. Like, how would you know if it fell without, you know, like, you can't hear it, you don't know. So it doesn't make a sound. Well, okay, so when I saw that, I was kind of like, yeah, I should start. I got a fan page rolling and everything, and I was like, I always still debate on how to social media. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, what's the divide? Like, obviously, like, you know, Facebook, I can, it's any, whatever I need to post. My fan page is mostly, like, my events and, like, the posters and, like, flyers. Twitter is mostly when I am on the road and I'm doing my thing and, like, kind of, like, live tweeting my experiences. And then, you know, Instagram is hopefully, like, pictures that people enjoy, or more so now, chats of random conversations that I can't believe I'm getting on Facebook. I think people are just trolling me now. I really think that that's what's going on. But with that said, I can give you the best example and the moment where I was like, maybe internet would be a good thing. And I think we can all agree that one of the best at, like, self-marketing and YouTube and all this stuff is Cole Cabana.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, and it shows. And he does such an excellent job with it. And I saw what Colt did. And, you know, very witty, very funny, creative, you know, innovative. And, like, you always know where he goes. And when he goes, like, people come. And that's exactly what you want. You want that on your show. Somebody that fans are willing to, you know, be, like, they have accepted him as, like, their guy. And that's what you want. It was also at that time where Zack Ryder was doing his show. It was funny because it was, like, the first time where, you know, like, people were like, oh, dude, dude, Zack Ryder's show is so funny. And, like, really at the time, people were like, you mean, like, the guy who's doing, like, ECW? You know, like, because I think that's where he was at the time.
Yeah.
But they're like, dude, he's so funny. You got to check it out. And you got to see into his personality, and he stood out as more as just the guy. And that was the thing that I started latching onto, and I was like, okay, so you can watch this insight into him, and you realize that Zack Ryder is hilarious, and he's funny, and he does all this stuff, and you're like, dude, why isn't this what we see on TV? And then I was at a show, and this has happened more than once. It's not like this is just the first time, but I'm at a show. I have my merchandise set out. I'm in my gear, and I'm at a school. I was at a gym, and it's so vivid to me. And I'm sitting there, like, you know, no one's really coming up to the table, just at the show starting. And this kid walks up to the table, couldn't be older than 5 or 6, and, like, looks at my picture, looks at me, looks at the picture, and he looks at me again, and he goes, are you wrestling on the show? And I was like, nah, man, I just always dress like this when I go to schools, because, like, I had, like, the most god-awful colorful pair of tights.
This is my Saturday attire.
Yeah, so I was like, yeah, this is just what I wear. And then I wrestled my match, and I came back out at intermission, and I was right before intermission, so I was like, okay, so this should be good. And, like, I'm doing everything, and, like, a couple people come by, and then again, there's, like, a little lull, and this kid comes up to me, and he's like, hey, did you wrestle tonight?
Oh, jeez.
And I was like, yeah, dude, I was just in the match. Like, don't you remember me? And he goes, oh, yeah, you're the kid with red hair. And I was like, oh, obviously. You know, like, so in my mind, what switched there is, so people couldn't comprehend the difference between if I was on a show. And maybe this is just a huge knock on me personally. Who knows? Maybe I'm just not memorable, I guess. But, like, this kid who just watched my match, or maybe he didn't. Maybe he was, you know, in the bathroom or whatever. But this kid who's in the crowd during my match, and then 10 minutes later came up to me and goes, were you on the show? And I was like, man, fans have short-term memories. And I really wish I could remember who said this to me. But somebody was, like, breaking it down. They were like, you can expect that in each match, a fan, a normal person in a 10-minute span of a match can remember 2 things from you and recite 2 things from that match that they found enjoyable on average. So by the end of the night, as time goes on, if you have 6 matches, 7 matches, 8 matches, you are expecting them to remember at anywhere from 5. Let's just, you know, because we know shows go long, let's say we're expecting fans to know anything between 10 to 20 things at a show. Therefore, what if something's really memorable in another match and pushes out a thought? So really, after time is factored in and everything, there's maybe a couple or a handful of things that they remember. And, like, if you're one of those things they remember, that's awesome. And one of the biggest compliments that I do get is when people are like, I remember you from this show. Like, you were entertaining. I love this. I remember this thing that you did. Like, at least then I know I'm connecting with people and I'm sticking with them. I think that's great.
Well, that's so when what I wrestling is all about, is just connecting with people.
Exactly. Like, I feel, you know, again, like, the emotion, the connection, like, the atmosphere. Like, that's what makes pro wrestling what it is. And so when I took that experience, like, being like, dude, how can these people, like, I guess I'm out there 6 to 8 minutes and I'm not out there long enough or whatever, and, like, how are people supposed to remember me? So I started kind of going along those lines. And again, it was really hard for me because I was like, God, I can't really, you know, copy what Cabana's doing. I don't want to do that. I don't want to seem like I'm ripping him off or whatever. So I kind of started thinking of stuff to do. So I started doing promos first. Because I was like, if nothing else, it'll be great practice. So I was like, at least if I had my shows, like, I kind of feel like people will be more willing to watch a video than, like, just scroll through whatever flyer you're doing. So then I started doing that. And then I was like, I should do a web show. Like, and not a lot of people at the time were doing web shows. So I was like, what if I could do one? Could I get away with it? So, you know, I started doing wrestling reflections. And it was funny because initially, like, my thought was it would just be, I was like, what would people tune into? And then I was like, well, I just wanted to get my personality over. And, like, it just kind of became a perfect storm and evolved into what it is. And, like, it's just, and to be honest, it's more fun for me than anything else because I love to do video editing and I love creative ideas and I get to see it come into fruition and I love that. So if nothing else, really, like, Wrestling Reflections was something that I really enjoy. And, it meant a lot to see that people enjoy it too. And, like, some of the episodes, you know, like, have gotten really good views, and it kept my creative branch going, especially when I got hurt and broke my collarbone. I could kind of do, like, a little bit more with it. And, like, right now I've just been, I've been so busy with certain stuff, trying to get scheduling, and, like, and the first half of this year has been great. It's been busy, but to get, like, new episodes of shows, that's been super tough. So, I do have thoughts in mind, and I'm not done doing Wrestling Reflections, in case anyone's curious about that. It's going to take me a little while. But I started doing, like, different shows, different promos, different programs, and, like, kind of went through and did all that stuff. And I started noticing that people would, like, enjoy those shows, enjoy those promos. I had people who, I actually had a couple buddies from high school. They came to a show because they Google searched my name and the promo popped up for the show. So they came to the event, which, these were friends that I hadn't seen since high school. And I thought that was awesome that they came to an event to check out the show. So I realized that I could put these things on the internet. They could continue getting views. They can continue getting shared, continue getting linked. And rather than a 6 to 8 minute match where I hope somebody remembers me, they would be online forever. So, I mean, and I guess that's for better or worse. I guess that's to be determined. But, yeah, the fact that they would stay there, they're always referenced, and then I can always share those out. That has always been a big part. So I kind of noticed that has more of a, more longevity, I guess, as far as for character and personality.
Darren, we're running short on time. We definitely have to have you on again eventually. We got to talk road trips and stuff like that, because right now we're going through the nuts and bolts. But obviously, with the presence you have on social media, anybody that's listening, where can they find all your stuff?
Cool. The easiest way, I'm on Twitter. It's just at Darren Corbin. I have a YouTube channel. If you just go to YouTube and type in Darren Corbin TV, it should pop up. Actually, if you type in Darren Corbin in the search, it pops up, so that's easy. Those are the two main. And then, of course, like, I have my fan page on Facebook, which is just Darren Corbin fan page. That one's easy. Give it a like, and then I always try and update with the events of the week, and then also the videos that are coming up. I'll always post them there.
Awesome. And then let me add one question that we have to ask before we forget so we're not pissed. I got to know, Team AC/DC, do you actually come out to AC/DC or no?
We do not, and some people, like, are really offended by it, and some people are, like, some people who are offended by it, we think it's great, so we intentionally come out to music that's as far from AC/DC.
Nice.
But, like, really, just to play off the names. So, it was actually given to us just based on the name, so it worked out really well, but, yeah, we've only come out to AC/DC once, actually, and that was in West Virginia.
So, follow-up question to the question, the people that are offended that you don't come out to AC/DC, have you gotten the five reasons why you guys should be killed because you're not coming out to AC/DC?
Not yet.
Not yet.
The only thing that people say is they're like, why don't you come out to AC/DC? And we're like, we like our song. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, your song sucks. Okay, sorry, buddy. Like,
all right. So for the follow-up question, was that the only CD they actually had at that show in West Virginia? Was like the greatest hits of AC/DC?
You're like, no.
I know we're gonna try and wrap it up, so I'm gonna make this story as fast as possible because like you guys will get a kick out of this. We're in West Virginia. They're like, the guy running sound goes, your name's Team AC/DC, right? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, so I assume you come out to AC/DC. And I was like, well, no, but what song do you have by AC/DC? And he goes, I only have Back in Black. And I was like, oh, well, that's Candido's song, so I guess. And like he cut me off and he goes, well, I don't think Candido's here tonight, so you guys can probably use it.
Oh my God.
I was like, you're probably right. And I was just like, oh. So I went immediately to the back, and I was like, I guess they're coming out to Back in Black. I was like, this guy has not caught the memo yet. Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. So I wanted to leave on that note.
That's definitely a great note to leave on. That's Darren Corbin, the Spotlight. We'll be right back with more Grapple Talk after this.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Darren Corbin. I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Rudin, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
It's not about the shoes. It's about knowing where you're going, not forgetting where you started. It's about having the courage to fail, not breaking when you're broken, taking everything you've been given and making something better. It's about work for glory, and what's inside of you is doing what they say you can't. It's not about the shoes. It's about what you do in them. It's about being who you were born to be.
This is Colin Brooks. I have the heart of a lion, and you are listening to Grapple Talk.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RB Enterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, indiepowerrankingsipr.wordpress.com.
Hello, fellow bar patrons. This is the Ring of Honor top prospect, the Beer City Bruiser, Matt Winchester.
And the Beer City Bruiser, no slouch. Many regional titles, came here with a reputation.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk.
We sat down there. We could have talked to Darren Corbin for another hour and a half, but we got time restraints on the show.
Yeah, I mean, he said it perfectly. You know, it's like, hey, I know that we got to wrap up and everything like that, and I know we're short for time, but, you know, I just got to say this last thing. And, you know, we're going to have him on again. That's definitely going to happen. He had a blast. We had a blast. So why
you know,
not bring him on a second
one
time?
Of the things about some of those interviews when we talk with these guys for the first time, they have all that experience. It's always that first interview, a majority of the time, like I said during the interview, it's kind of like a nuts and bolts package. We're learning about the guy,
yep.
Hearing his perspective about the business. So the next time we have him on, we're talking the road trips. We're talking the fun that this guy has. I mean, I wanted to ask him about some road trip stories so bad, but I knew that, you know, just the time restriction, we probably weren't going to be able to get those in. But that's definitely something we need to touch on here later on in Grapple Talk, because that's, you know, that's some of the best interviews we've ever had.
That is definitely true. I mean, those are the fun interviews because everyone's having a good time reminiscing about being on the road.
Yeah. One of the best parts about being in pro wrestling.
Just like Darren Corbin says, keep wrestling fun.
Keep wrestling KWF.
KWF.
Copyright. Hashtag KWF. You know what else is fun?
Oh, what's that?
Vince McMahon. Sometimes, I don't
know. Vince McMahon's fun?
Yeah.
I think he is. I think he's a fun guy.
Here's a big thing, guys. Actually, I heard about it this morning. I'm sure everybody else heard about it earlier.
I heard about
it
this morning.
Yeah. Deadspin, I believe, was the first to break this. Is that correct?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe it was on Reddit. Maybe it was on Reddit or something.
It was
like that.
On Reddit, and yep. Then Deadspin picked it up.
Right. So on Reddit, one of the users on R Squared Circle, which is a great reference for people that like to talk smack about pro wrestling. I go there sometimes.
Do you like to talk smack about pro wrestling?
No, I just like to be a lurker.
I like to go there and eat my props.
But anyways, so what this was is what this allegedly is, I want to say, just to, you know, make sure I'm covering my bases.
So Vince doesn't call you
so
up.
So Vince
like,
doesn't call me
hey,
up when I have a job offer.
Damn it, Ragnar.
When I have a job offer from WWE, which is going to happen, obviously. He's not like – what. So what this
was – Oh, you're the guy that said –
Can you let me finish talking?
Sorry.
So there was a few pages – apparently from Vince McMahon, or not necessarily from him, but from people that probably took notes from Vince McMahon and put them on this piece of paper, for the announcer's commentary, pretty much the media, taking tips and points from the big man, you know, the big chairman himself, about what they need to do, what they need to say correctly when they're representing the WWE on television. Guys, I read through it. I know Jesse did. I don't know if you did, AC. Have you read through
it?
You read through it a little bit. You know, what do you guys kind of think about what you read?
Well, honestly, a lot of it made sense. Like, there's a few things of just how you word certain phrases or you word certain certain words in reality. So, like, you know, it's not a championship or a title. It's going for the gold, or it's not blood. It's busted open. And, you know, like, especially, like, you know, with you and I working with news, it's like it's the same thing. You'll get the, oh, don't say this. Say it this way. Don't say there's less of whatever. There are fewer of. It's just wording. So I think it makes perfect sense. I'm not really sure who decided that they were going to send these photos out and leak it, but at the same time, like, everything on there, like, made sense, at least to us, and I'm sure to a lot of the casual wrestling fans, they might be like, oh, that's why they say this opposed to this when they're trying to say this or anything like that.
I think it's funny because it's probably something you never really think about, and I think you made a good point, like, working in news or radio, Jesse, you obviously work here at the TV station, it's just a way that you present certain things that either makes it more interesting, makes it more engaging, makes your product look better, and that's what's really important. I know before we actually, you know, started recording this segment, I know that you kind of, you know, it's right now the popular thing right now is to bash and be like, oh, trying to put restrictions on things. Vince McMahon's an idiot, but you obviously, Jesse, think completely different.
You know, I was reading it and I was very much like, how is this going to affect me? I do a lot of play-by-play, and I'm reading this, I'm like, I can improve on this and this. This makes total fucking sense. I don't understand why people have a big fucking deal about this being like the worst thing ever. Tell you the truth, it's a great guideline for all those shitty ass motherfucking commentators out there who shit on their products. Like, that's the last thing you should be doing. I think like the best point in the whole thing was have fun. You're still a fan of wrestling.
Yep.
And I love that.
Oh,
because
yeah, that's right.
Anyone who's on commentary should be having fun with the wrestling there. And I know there's times, and trust me, I've been there, where the match is the drizzling shit. But that match might be someone's first match.
Mm-hmm.
And you should not shit on someone's first memory when it comes to pro wrestling. Because you do that, you might ruin a fan for life.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought there were so many valid points in that whole memo that that should be the Bible. That should be the Bible for commentators out there from this point on. Download it. Study it. watch wrestling a lot more, especially if you're doing that, and have actually an appreciation for the broadcasting side of the business instead of just shitting on it on message boards and forums and on Reddit and with your friends and be like, oh, I could do a better job than Michael Cole. Fuck you, you can't.
Correct.
There's a reason why Michael Cole has been doing this as long as he has, is because he's really good. So just somebody as a fan that thinks they can do better, that's not going to happen.
That's a great part about it, too. You know, it's like you read through this and the popular conception, you know, it's like we work in pro wrestling. We work in the TV business. We kind of know what that's like to sell a product. People view, you know, commentary sometimes probably, yeah, like you just said, like it's, oh, I could do this. You know, I could do commentary. I like wrestling. I know wrestling moves. I can do commentary. But that's not really what's part of it. And I think it's funny, like I don't watch Raw as often as I used to just because sometimes I don't have the time. Sometimes I just don't, you know, I don't know. I don't like commercials very much. I watch a lot of Netflix and HBO Go. But, you know, when I was watching Raw this past week, I'm sitting there watching Michael Cole do his thing, and I'm like, you know what? That job would be really fucking hard.
Yeah.
That'd be so tough for 3 hours to hold your shit together. And he's very well composed for the most part. I mean, it's hard to find really clink in his armor, or a dent in his armor, a chink in his, that was not.
that's the expression.
That's what it is.
Is that what it
is?
Wow,
Nick.
Yeah. So, but that's the funny thing about this too. And you know, it's like you said, I don't think it's going too far to say it. If you want to get into commentary, if you even enjoy the business, just to read this and study it. I mean, it's something interesting that, you know, really lets you immerse yourself into what WWE does, and it really shows you that, you know, this is a business. And like you said, though, it's about having fun, and like a lot of things I took away from that was, you know, don't be afraid to be yourself.
Yep.
You know, be yourself when you're on commentary. You know, present yourself as not just some robotic commentator, but as yourself. And that's one thing I've really picked up from that I also found, you know, something that you hear in the TV biz all the time as well, and I couldn't agree more. Yeah, it seems like when we first heard about it, I mean, the initial response that I got from the guy that told us that was on Deadspin was, haha, look at this tyrant that's, you know, running wild and stuff. And it's like, no, that's not the case, and that's probably a very popular conception right now, at least for people that aren't in the business.
Yeah, it's like I think a lot of people forget that Vince McMahon got his break in the business as a commentator.
100%.
Yeah.
Be kind, rewind, tape study.
There's so much good wrestling going on right now.
Yeah,
just
really is.
Watch some wrestling. What we're going to do is we're going to actually post up a link to the AJ Styles Okada match from this past weekend. You've probably seen the last 5 minutes, but guess what? The first 25 are just as good. You want to make sure you watch that. If you didn't get a chance to catch it, John Cena against Cesaro for Monday. Watch that match. Those two guys put on a clinic. They got chemistry beyond chemistry, those two. And also, if you didn't get a chance to see it, make sure you watch The Beast in the East. And just to actually get an opportunity to watch Finn Balor take on Kevin Owens for the NXT title. Great match. Also, if you want to dive into it, there's actually a match of Prince Devitt taking on Daniel Bryan from NWA. I forgot which promotion it was. It was from a couple years back. You get a chance to watch that. That's also pretty cool, too.
It's really weird, guys. Before we leave today,
yeah,
I look forward to the Divas matches now more than I do anything else on Raw and NXT.
Well,
and
because you can actually get to watch Nikki Bella.
Well, that's part of it. But, I mean, no, but seriously, but, like, I don't know why, but I enjoy women's wrestling. Like,
I used
to always enjoy it. But now, like, it's, like, the highlight of the shows I watch. It's a weird dynamic now. It's just weird for me.
You know why? Because it's different than everything else you're seeing on it, because the psychology is totally different
in
those matches. That's
100% correct, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
AC Riley, closing comments.
I just got to say, shout out to a lot of the guys in the Midwest. Xavier Mustafa did a tryout, actually, just recently with WWE, so that was really cool.
Wow.
Apparently, no moonsaults, because they're not a big fan of those at the tryout. No high spots for them. But still, the fact that he got to do that is awesome. Obviously, we mentioned Global Force there, so a shout out to the guys that we'll see from the Midwest, like Ari Daivari taking on Colt Cabana, Tommaso Ciampa taking on Nick Aldis, Melanie Cruz takes on Santana Garrett. My opinion, which could be a possible candidate for match of the night, Jay Bradley, Matt Cage, Nick Colucci, and Joey Avalon in a fatal four way. Mm. So, four of the best talent in the Midwest, and they're going toe to toe to toe to toe. So, Global Force.
Toe to toe to toe.
That's four guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Shout out to all those guys that are.
I hope they have more than one toe each.
Yeah, that'd not be good.
Toes to toe? Doesn't matter. Global Force, Thursday, Midwest, representing in Appleton. So,
and obviously, that's awesome. Shout out to just, you know, all the listeners, a lot of the guys that have taken the time out of their day to come on and talk to us for an hour. You know, huge thanks. I mean, it's been 80 episodes.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Jesse, you joined us at, what, 25 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
It's been about a year that we talked about that.
We don't talk about the first 25 episodes. Those are the lost episodes. We thank everybody for coming on. We thank everybody for coming on. We were definitely working out the kinks in our armor. Is that right?
No, that's wrong again.
Hmm. Well, we were working those out at that time. We were buffering out the...
ironing out the wrinkles.
Yeah, the wrinkles.
80 episodes. That's a impressive feat. And like you said, thank you everybody that's been listening. Especially thanks, big thanks to a lot of the fans and wrestlers that will come out to us at the shows. Like, man, I just downloaded this episode. We download all these episodes depending on the trip and get all these episodes lined up in order. So that's pretty cool.
We do this for those people. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that we, you know, one of the popular things that I used to say in the first few episodes, and anybody could probably attest to this, but I'd always joke that we have the millions. Remember that, Riley?
I remember that.
And maybe we don't have millions of viewers, but, I mean, we do, you know, for the number of people we do, whether it's, you know, we've heard promoters say this, whether it's 10 people, whether it's 100, whether it's 4,000, you know, the listeners that we get, we do this for them. And, you know, kudos to you guys for sticking through and actually listening to the end of the episode to hear us say this, because I assume many people probably tuned out after Darren Corbin got off the phone.
You know, it's probably a good possibility.
But, you know, well. That's it for Grapple Talk episode number 80. Thank you for joining us so much. Here's to 80 more. We'll catch you, Grapple Talkaholics. I was trying to think of a. We discussed that once, right?
We did.
But did we ever think of anything?
I think we did. It's just nobody wrote it down.
All right.
Why don't we just call them Grapple Talkers?
Well, thanks for joining us for these 80 episodes, Grapple Talkers. Stay classy.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
All
right, I'll start things.
Kind of squeaky.
Sounds like a little. Lilar and Stitch. And Lilar Ohana.
Jesus.
Ohana means family. You don't even know what I'm talking about, Jesse?
I've never seen this movie.
Oh. With Nick Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Man, we just got some stuff for the blooper reel, that's all I'm saying.
Our entire podcast is the blooper reel.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.